We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
It feels like Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami.
It feels like Miami.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today here at our Twitch channel where you can catch all our podcasts live. So if you're listening to us on Apple or Spotify or anything, remember, we are live every show on twitch.tv/MIA Heat Beat, including Hangover Time, which is our exclusive post-game show here at Heat Beat, and the Miami Heat Game pregame show, which is 30 minutes before every tip-off. So make sure to catch all the stuff we have going on Twitch. With me on the bottom left is our producer and co-founder, Brian Gwitz.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Hungover Time.
So we give a little backstory of that in a second. On the bottom of the screen, we have the great Siobhan. Siobhan, welcome to the program. How are you?
Sup, G. I am still recovering, but I'm good.
You living?
Yes. Yeah.
On the left of the screen here, right next to me, is my friend, the 2K coach, Frankie.
I need to enter the health and safety protocols.
Okay, so we gotta clear some backstory for Chad and for our listeners who don't know what happened last night. On Hangover Time, our post-game show hosted by Alphonse Sidney, a.k.a. Heat Twitter President Alf, we had a bit of a game going. For every subscription given to us in chat, so every Twitch sub, the crew was going to take a shot. So that was Alf, Siobhan, Frankie, Moose, Tiffany, and Brass. And there were, you guys, by the way, shout out to Twitch chat. Shout out to our listeners. You guys came strong. Nearly 30 subscriptions on the night. Yeah, record setting. Dog, you guys showed out. It was amazing. We appreciate that kind of support. We love you guys, and we want to do as best as we can for y'all. So the crew here killed their livers. Their livers were sacrificed for you guys. Like, Siobhan, like, that was intense. You guys, I saw the agony on your faces when there was a tier one sub.
Yeah,
it was intense. It wasn't a good idea from the beginning. I told Alf it wasn't a good idea. I suggested doing the shifts. He said no. So we jumped out there, you know, gun ho, knocked back like the first eight, and then we had to make it audible. Like, something had to give. But no, so, it was a great time. They did. Twitch was great. You guys did awesome. Thank you,
Frankie. The best part for me was when people were like gifting. So like people were gifting five subs at a time, and you're just like, oh no.
Alf extremely underestimated our fan base.
He did. I don't know what
I did too. Dog, I listen. Dog, Chad, I love you guys.
I think he wasn't expecting that many people to come watch a Heat after that Heat loss? I don't know.
They lost by 20. They got their ass kicked and you guys came out.
We had more traction and less subscriptions when we had like Sedano and Izzy on. So I think that was our like record so far for
stream. Yeah, no, that was a record. That was a record night here on our Twitch stream. So.
But yeah, I watched the beginning part of that pod and I still haven't finished it because that's 2 hours long and that's a lot to watch. So I'm going to get through it. It's going to be a binge watch. But yeah, I think I'll start off the whole thing with like two shots for every subscription. I was like, what are you doing?
It was a double. It was a double. It was a double because
for tier ones or something.
Yeah. Yeah, for tier ones.
Oh my God.
I could understand it for like a tier two or above. But tier one.
We started the show and had like four subs right away.
Yeah. Glass was popping in every 13 seconds. Oh, shout out to so-and-so. We got another. Oh, someone gifted 19 tier one subs to whoever. Like, it was great.
So, like, I'm watching from the comfort of my couch. You know, I'm sipping a gin and tonic. I'm not, like, pounding shots. And I was like, wow, what a great night for us. What a bad night for y'all. What a great night for us. Like, so, if that sounds fun to you, check out our post-game show and our Twitch stuff. They're great. Alf is amazing, as you know, if you're familiar with Heatbeat. So,
yeah, the reason... last night.
Yeah, chat absolutely burned the boat. Shout out to Chase Fitty, who's a sub. So, Siobhan, I kind of want to get into some of the stuff that's plaguing the scene. We're not going to go very long today. It's tough to really kind of get people excited after kind of the most embarrassing loss that I can remember. I mean, probably since they got their ass kicked by the Knicks and the Nets back-to-back last season, has a loss not felt that embarrassing? But I kind of want to talk. So I want to go through a couple things. I want to start with Kendrick Nunn, and we're going to work our way around that because there's a lot of conversation on Twitter, and it's like, you guys are being too hard on Kendrick Nunn. Brian had a really funny tweet on the Heatbeat account, and he's like, the only fluke last year was Kendrick Nunn was a functional basketball player, which is really funny. People are mad at that, and they're like, this is not just Kendrick's fault. This is a bigger issue with the team. You guys are just kind of pounding on Kendrick. And like at this point, he's probably their worst rotation player.
Yeah, no, and see, I don't know that that's entirely all the way true because maybe that would be true if he and all the team were just starting here at this point. Kendrick has been bad since the bubble, and I've been still holding out for Kendrick. Like, I like Kendrick. I want him to get back on track. So maybe there was a little bit of commentary on him a little sooner than it should have. But I do think at this point, it's fair to say that he has, I don't know, like significantly kind of regressed, you know, not even gotten better, but just, I don't know if it's confidence. I don't know if it's, he's still feeling some of the effects of COVID or what, but like, it's hard to watch. And I don't think it's being unfair sometimes or, you know, when done properly to point that out.
So the one thing I always like to look at is how does a team perform when you're on the court? And then how do they look when you're off the court? And kind of how does that compare to your teammates? Right. Because at the end of the day, if you have a bad loss, everything's going to round out. Right. The Milwaukee game is going to really skew the numbers. But after a while, the math is going to even out because everyone except Goran really played that game. And Goran and Jimmy didn't play that game. So Kendrick Nunn is second in the team in net rating when he's on the court. So when Kendrick Nunn is on the court playing basketball, the Heat are being outscored by 24 points per 100 possessions. When Kendrick Nunn is not playing basketball, when Kendrick Nunn is not on the floor, when Kendrick Nunn is not near a basketball action, when he's on the bench, the Heat are about even. They're minus 0.2. So it's basically even. So they're playing about 500 basketball with him off the court. And when he's on the court, they're just devastatingly bad. And when I look at him, I think a guy that has had his mid-range jumper completely go away. I think that he's a fast player, but I don't think the Heat are playing with the same space they played last season. Their shooters are not hitting other than Duncan, their shooters are not hitting at an elite rate. So he's not really able to use his quickness and burst to get to the rim and do some stuff. So he really has to rely on the mid-range game, which even before the bubble, I mean, if we look back to like February, end of January, that stuff really started to tail off hard. So he's a guy that is not able to get to the rim without space, and they don't have any help to get him there. And he's not hitting his pull-ups. He's barely functional as a three-point spot-up shooter now. And on defense, Siobhan, he's a wreck. I mean, you look at any pick-and-roll action, he's getting destroyed on screens. He's not getting around. And Bam and Precious are constantly playing two-on-one. Yeah. Always.
Is he the worst net rating on the team?
Mo Harkless is.
Okay, so no more. We're not talking about him.
Yeah, no.
Who was before Kendrick?
So it's KZ at a minus 14, but that's 10 whole points. KZ's only action came in that Bucks game before last night.
And you said it, like, that's a big difference. Like, even at the next worst being plus 14, you at plus 24, like, it's bad. And so, you know, it's not just us or people, you know, unfairly critiquing or getting on him. No, the numbers are showing what they show. The eye test shows it. And if you want to throw the numbers there, it shows it also.
It's tough. And like, I think I've been very public about how I feel about Kendrick Nunn, the person, but like Kendrick Nunn, the basketball player, I think had a lot of promise, Frankie, kind of going into last season and everything. And like, you know, he had the really hot start in the preseason. Didn't he have a 40-point game or whatever? And he looked really good. And we've talked a lot about Nunn over the years, so I don't want to do another hit show on Kendrick Nunn or whatever, but I do think that there's kind of, you know, it's tough when you got to watch him play so many minutes. And part of that is, you know, they're injured, the COVID stuff, you know, and Gabe had foul trouble. So that kind of forced Eric's hand into playing him. But like, Frankie, I just really feel like the idea of Kendrick Nunn as a rotational NBA player, that at least for this season, I think that's behind us.
Yeah, he hasn't shown anything since the bubble, like Siobhan said, that to lead you to believe anything is coming back. He at this point, he's getting close. And it was even before the bubble, he tailed off a lot. He had that hot start. He was hitting threes at a high clip. He was hitting his mid-range pull-up at a high clip. He was getting to the basket, scoring, playing off the ball really well, and making the okay reads, you know, not making plays, but he was making decent reads. Now he's not even doing that. He doesn't make plays for other people. He doesn't defend well. It's like, if he's not scoring, he's not making plays for anybody. He's not, he's just hurting you. He's not defending. What does he bring to the table to improve the team? You know?
Yeah. Like, so on pull-ups this year, he's shooting 35%. On catch and shoots, he's shooting 14%. That's just not going to get it done.
Wait, what was his catch and shoot?
14%.
Oh, come on, man.
That's not going to get it done. It's not. And the pull-up, you know, and the pull-up was really his best weapon, Siobhan. Like, you know, when teams are dropping against him, you know, at least you can rely. Okay, I'm going to get to that 18-footer, and I'm going to rise up. And if you want to overplay me, I'm quick enough that I'm going to get to the cup. And that's just gone because they're like, dude, what do I care?
14% on how many attempts?
I don't have the aggregate. He's taking about like two a game. Yeah, I mean, I can get that right now, but it's not good. So he's taken 14 pull-ups, 7 catch and shoots. He hasn't taken a lot of shots. He's taken 35 shots this season.
Okay.
I mean, we can probably track that back to last season, but yeah.
Yeah, like I'm looking at some. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, I was just looking at some of his month-to-month stats. Last season, obviously, he had the hot start. He was shooting 48% that first month of the season back when he was a starter at point guard. Up until about March, he started to tail off. And it looked like February was like he was kind of coming back, at least three-point shooting-wise. He was shooting 42.9% entering March. And then he tailed off when he came back out of the bubble in August, shooting 20%. And this season, it's been tragically bad. Like, I don't understand how bad you go from being, like, a competent NBA shooter to, like, below justice level bad.
Jesus Christ.
He shot 14.3% in December. He's actually shooting 25% this month in January in three games.
That's not even justice bad. That's Dwayne Wade, Josh Smith bad.
My goodness gracious.
He's still taking almost two attempts a game.
So, like, if you look at his stats last season from basically the beginning of March till the end, I mean, he was shooting 32% on pull-ups, right? And 29% on catch and shoots. So like at the end of last season, Siobhan, off volume, right? So it's like we're in the 50s and 60s and field goal attempts going back to like the end of last season and the bubble and everything. So it's tough. It's tough. And I don't really know where they go from here with him. I think it's tough to look at Gabe as well. And we're going to get into some positives because there were some positives and there are some positives to this team.
Yeah.
KZ.
KZ. I want to talk about the defense because we've talked a lot about Nunn. I really just wanted to get that out there because I think people are saying that we're unfair to him. And I think we've been adequately critical of his play. Yeah. Hope he can get back to where he was. Obviously, that'll help the team a bunch. But, you know, the defense is the thing that I find interesting because I think the offense will eventually correct itself. I think that Tyler's not going to shoot this bad for so long. Jimmy hasn't barely played. It's kind of the other weird thing is that Jimmy has not really gotten to get into a rhythm, especially with the new guys. So, like, I kind of feel like if we're looking at their offense, it's kind of moot. The defensive stuff, I think, is interesting because, Frankie, so they've kind of retained the same style of defense, right? They're really going to help off the corners. They're going to allow those corner threes. They're going to drop and pick and roll for the most part. And that's going to invite pull-up threes. You know, they're helping from the corner. So that kick-out pass, you know, to the left and right corners are going to be available for teams. And it shows in the stats. The Heat allow the second most three-point attempts in the league, and they're not playing at a really fast pace. And their field goal attempts at the rim are second fewest. They're protecting the rim. They're building a wall. They're not allowing teams to get there. I think even though Bam is oftentimes up in that drop, you know, they're really doing a good job of containing the ball penetration. The problem is that the Goran, Nunn, Tyler, Duncan, their man is always beating them. So that comes back into the situation where, you know, you have Precious and Bam, they're playing 2-on-1. Right. And when they get a foot in the paint, then help has to come. And then that's where like your leaky 3-point defense really comes into play. So the Heat are kind of doing what the Bucks and the Raptors and like this, well, kind of the modern philosophy, kind of allow threes, protect the paint. We're kind of going back to like the 2000s, right? As opposed to, you know, defend the 3-point line. We're back to the point of attack defense. And I just can't believe we're back here, Frankie.
Well, I mean, you're missing your two best perimeter players. That can't be overstated in Avery and Jimmy. I mean, you're forced to play the zone defense against the Detroit Pistons. it goes down to – it does start with point of attack, absolutely, because if you can stop the ball, you can set up your defense however you want. But we can't contain. They put pressure inside. If Bam stops him, whoever we're playing at the four is usually a small, and we're getting beat on the offensive glass, and consistently they're getting more possessions out of that, and that's possessions in the paint, kickouts for corner threes, for wing threes, and rhythm threes, and that's all inside out, man. Inside out, that we all know that's what you're taught. Play basketball. You drive and kick. You grab the rebound. If it's too crowded inside, you kick it back out, reset it up, and that's a good look. You know, it's tough, man. When Goran started in the bubble, you saw a different intensity from him on defense. He was capable instead of a traffic cone, and that's absolutely what we need.
Capable instead of a traffic cone.
No, but it's true, man. Goran lost a huge step. That's a big reason why he went to the bench and why he, you know, there was talks about looking for a starting point guard to replace him. You need two-way guys, man. They have three two-way guys on the roster right now in Avery, Jimmy, and Bam, unless I'm forgetting somebody, and two of them aren't playing. And Bam is all by himself, and Bam also has to score. Bam has to rebound. Bam has to do everything for this team to be capable. And he's playing with Gabe Vincent, Kendrick Nunn, and KZ Akpala like 30 minutes a game.
Like, and I forgot who said it in the chat. It's like it's Bam and a bunch of nobodies, right? It's like it's hard. And so, by the way, Jimmy and Brian, do you want to guess how many minutes Jimmy Butler and Avery Bradley have played together this season?
If they played many minutes, it would have probably just came in that one Thunder game and like those first two quarters in the Pelicans game. So let's say like 40 most at most.
23 minutes together.
That's amazing.
And the Heat are great in those 23 minutes. They have plus 10 net rating. Their defensive rating is at 87. Their offensive rating is booty. It's 97. But I think that, you know, your two best defensive wings, Siobhan, haven't played together yet. You're playing a lot of small guards, as we've talked about. That's kind of their Achilles heel. Their guards are small. Their guards can't rebound other than Tyler, really, because Duncan's not doing it. So it's it's tough, Siobhan, for me to look at this team and make any sort of assessment, because despite them kind of having stretches of being healthy, it's kind of a mirage. And I don't really feel like we know who this team is.
I don't know, but I feel like you just made a lot of assessment there, and it all ties in and goes back to the same things. And you're not wrong in what you're saying. We're not getting the production we were getting offensively, and the struggles that we're having defensively are being further highlighted because we can't score. So teams are getting more possessions. Like we said, offensive rebounds, like Frankie said, to kick out three is a beautiful play. And we're just getting that, you know, cracked over our skulls the whole time. You know, you said we're small. We are small, and we have been small. And so I don't think that it's a mirage or that it's, you know, untrue to say. Like, the issues that are with this team are very material, and they're not, you know, some, like, they're not made up. And it's okay to address them. You said, you know, that we have three two-way players. I really, and maybe I'm, you know, overselling. I know we'll get into him. Maybe I'm overselling KZ's, the way that he was able to look against the Pistons, who, you know, are what they are. But I just, he feels different. He looks different. He feels more confident, more settled in himself. Even in his, like, nervous anxiousness, he still looks better. And he solves, if he is who they clearly think that he is, to have, you know, withheld him from trade talks, he's still here, you know, all of those types of things. If he pans out and can be what it's clear that they hope that he can, I think he plugs some of those holes. But you are right, you know, not having Jimmy, not having Avery shows its head, but that also highlights why we need better service or more serviceable other guys for when we do have those guys out. So we're not just relying on them to look like us, to look like ourselves. Sorry.
I love what you said there about the... Hello, you guys there?
Yeah,
we're here. Listening.
Oh, everything froze. Everything froze. I was like, what's going on? I was like, Zoom, don't do this to me. I was like, not now. Listen, we need some sort of alternative. Brian, we got to get on the Zoom alternative.
Oh, I forgot what it's called, but yeah, we'll get on it.
This is great content. Yeah.
This is incredible content. Listen, we're producing on the fly. I lost my train of thought. KZ. I love what you said about KZ, because I do feel like that is kind of the secret sauce, the missing piece about all this, because the MHB account got invited to some, you know, Heat Twitter group chat. It's like 100 people in there. And this morning they were talking about, like, wanting another big man. They want another center, right? They're like, our center rotation sucks and this and that. And I'm like, well, why do we need another center? I go, they have probably one of the best center rotations in the league between Bam and Precious. There's literally no drop off. Maybe the Sixers have a better center rotation because Dwight's really good and he's a vet or whatever. But, like, the Heat have a really fucking good center rotation. So the idea of needing another big man, I'm not, like, a big fan of, because I think they want to play small.
I don't think rebounding's been an issue. Well, much of an issue.
It's been an issue. No, it's been an issue.
It was a bigger issue last year than this year, I feel like.
It's pretty bad. And part of that's because Jimmy's not really there, who's a good rebounder. Not that
the biggest issue has been turnovers. And I don't think that can be lightly noted. And then I was looking at a couple stats today, and like, they're 1-5 or 1-6 when they've given up 17 or 18 turnovers in a game. And that's really bad. Like, you can't win games giving up. And a lot of those turnovers are like pick sixes, which Spoelstra noted yesterday in his press conference. And he was like, we probably lead the league in pick six turnovers. And he's probably right. So, yeah.
Their turnovers have been an issue. The rebound, I mean, like, even to Siobhan's point about, like, KZ, like, being an answer. I mean, KZ, not that he's played a lot, you know, he's played a couple games. And he's grabbing a rebound a game. And he's playing, you know, 13 minutes. He's a big, right? He's a big dude with long arms. Like, you kind of got to do better than that. And that's an issue. Like, they have issues that are systemic and that are kind of really ingrained on their roster. And I'm not sure that they can fix it without a trade. Last season, they managed to fix it. Andre's a year older. You know, Jimmy's a year older. Goran's a year older. The guards have not improved on defense whatsoever.
I think we can safely say that Hero and Robinson have kind of stay where they were defensively from last year.
I think Duncan's like, Duncan's if Duncan's your weak better. Link, that's fine. Yeah, Duncan's got better. If he's your Duncan's weak link, that's. And they can hide it in the playoffs. They do that kind of hard show and recover. You know, they're switching a ton. They switch off ball stuff, right? So they find ways to hide their bad defenders in the playoffs. You just can't do that in the regular season. And now
they're going to need to.
But we got to get to the playoffs.
At this point, you're starting, if you're starting both of them and we don't have, I mean.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Sucks because we haven't really seen our full rotation for more than like a game and a half at best during the stretch. So like, it sucks because we're missing out on a lot of people because of the COVID protocols. We're missing out because Jimmy had that bum ankle for a while, and now Tyler's hurt with his neck injury. You kind of want to see the full team at strength, but like at this point, you need to start doing some different things on defense. Like 2-3 zone was interesting to see against the Pistons yesterday. It didn't really work that well. But no. You need to see some different things just because we're at the point where like this is a short and condensed NBA season and we don't have much more time to like experiment. We kind of have to find a rotation out. And kind of stick with it.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with 2-day shipping. And the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
So I put a poll in Twitch chat. What's the Heat's bigger issue? Is it rebounding? Is it turnovers? Their turnover issue is kind of weird because they're running a lot of offense through Tyler. And I think naturally that's going to yield turnovers. You're running your offense through a young guy, but it's not really Tyler because Bam's turning the ball over a ton and they're all kind of doing it. It's I can't even look at the young point guard and say, yeah, this is you guys. Tiffany Meeks in chat says that you're at the mercy of personnel, which is true. And they kind of were last season as well until they kind of made the trade for Andre and Jay and everything. So they run a lot of the same stuff as last year. It's not working the same. One of the big things, Frankie, that I see too is so like last season, you know, when Duncan was on the floor, that he had a 116 offensive rating, right? And then this year, when Duncan's on the floor, they have like a 106 or 107 or something like that, which is good, mm-hmm. but it's not like league breaking, right? He's 110 this year. And then last year was like 116, 117. You have to be incredible on offense to justify playing these guys. Because you're getting torched on defense by the fucking Pistons. They suck. They suck. They're not good. They're the worst team in the league. And they ran all over you. They did whatever they wanted in pick and roll. They hunted your guys. And Jeremy Grant made you all look stupid. And
yeah, I think with Duncan, I it's also a lot of it. He hit the ground running last season. And that went for their whole starting lineup. You know, that was last year was one of the rare seasons in the Eric Spoelstra era that he didn't have to change the starting lineup for a non-injury reason until the bubble. Well, I mean, Justice originally, of course, but even with Justice was once he found that lineup tweak with putting in Nunn and Duncan and when Jimmy pretty much came in right as Justice got hurt. So it was like an, you know, 6-7 point forward for a 6-7 point forward. But they, you know, right out of the gates, Myers was hitting shots. Duncan was hitting shots. Kendrick was hitting shots. So it masked a lot of the weaknesses because your offense was so damn good from the get go. And that helped it. Now nobody's hitting shots. So besides Duncan, Tyler's not hitting shots. We were one of the best 3-point shooting teams. And like a lot of the stuff that was effective for us, you know, the playing small isn't working right now. One of the reasons you want to play small is to spread the floor so you can run more offense, easier driving lanes, and have the kickouts. But if you're turning the ball over, you're not getting rebounds. You're not playing faster. You know, it's not giving you anything. That's why Spo ultimately went with Kelly. And that it's looked better, but you're still like your perimeter still isn't holding its own to help the team and produce like you need them to.
They have issues. So we're kind of running on time because we're not going very long today. I want to kind of give Chad a little shout out. AC3R6 says, what about Bradley Robinson, Jimmy, KZ, Bam starting? You know, with Precious, Goran, KO off the bench. That sounds good.
I see that working.
Yes.
Wait, what was it again?
So it's Jimmy, KZ, Bam starting lineup, Hero, KO, Precious, Goran off the bench. Bradley Robinson, yeah. Jimmy, KZ, Bam. That lineup hasn't, I don't think that lineup has played a single minute.
I think it was Nakai said that Bradley, Jimmy, and Bam have played like 7 minutes together.
Yes. That lineup, by the way, has not played a single minute together. So yeah. I think that's the goal. I think that their high end is something like that. The four players, Duncan, Bam, Jimmy, Avery, have played 3 minutes together. I mean, it's been good. But again, like you can't take much out of a 3-minute sample. So they have, I think that they have enough to make the playoffs as a home seed. I think that the turnovers will correct themselves. These players are too good. They're kind of stupid mistakes. It's oftentimes, I think they're trying a little too hard to be quick. I think they play a little rushed. I think part of that is frustration with their defense because they're constantly playing from behind. When was the last time the Heat really played with a lead the whole time? The OKC game and even the Wizards game, it was like they were under siege every quarter. You know what I mean? And I don't think you can play. This team is like not an offensive juggernaut. They're not. So you can't play panicked on offense when your defense is bleeding. And I know that their defense has I think the defensive rating has been better than the offensive rating in terms of kind of ranking or whatever, but it's looked bad. And I think the strategy is sound. It hasn't looked good. Chats just wants Victor Oladipo or Kyle Lowry or anybody. Mm-hmm. I have Clutch Adam. The Raptors won yesterday and he goes, not today. I'm not sending you the picture of Kyle Lowry today, mocking me. There's going to be a lot of trade talks coming up. I just, you know, I wanted to do a little show today to kind of touch on some of the things that have gone wrong.
We'll do another episode on some trade talk later on. But I do think there is something to note that, like, I think the Heat would be smart to go after Oladipo and PJ Tucker when you can trade for both of them in about a month.
PJ, I think Siobhan, you're team PJ, right?
I'm team PJ and Vic. I agree with what you said too. Like we're not an offensive a juggernaut. But what does that look like in, you know, today's consistent I guess, knock down 3-point shooting if that's what we're going to do. But that we're built to shoot threes or nothing, right? Like even our big men, Kelly Myers, are still here for their ability to pick and pop, right? To space. And so when that's not happening, when that's not working, this is what you see. And so in lieu of being, you know, this brilliant offensive team, we need some beef, right? I think you don't necessarily need a center. You don't necessarily need that, or not even necessarily for rebounding purposes, but you do need size, right? I think Vic is going to give you the tenaciousness at the point, but PJ is someone that gives you that barrel body, you know, a chest, just someone that's not going to be pushed around. Jay wasn't big, but Jay was stocky. He was sturdy, which allowed him to play up. It's not like, you know, he was magically growing, you know, 6 inches. No, he just had the weight to be able to bang with guys. We don't have that weight, and we're seeing it in more ways than just amount and rebounds.
Say, Siobhan, they're a little soft.
Yeah.
They're soft. Yeah. We're soft minded sometimes, but just like small also.
Small, soft, they don't play with edge. They have no edge. I think part of that is Jimmy's not on the floor and he kind of gives some of that edge. I don't think Bam's naturally that guy. I think that sometimes it comes out of him, but I just think his general baseline is not kind of edgy, right? Like Jimmy's always edgy. Jimmy's always
no
on
one
edge,
plays
right?
with any emotion. There's no visible emotion.
There's not.
And there's no one that like uplifts the, like brings that energy out of anybody.
You would think UD would be that guy.
My man's 40 years old, but leave him alone.
No, but there
he's
was a good
done enough.
Well, there was a good quote from Bam yesterday. Let me see if I could pull it up real quick. But he was talking about how like he feels really bad about the start in terms of like how it looks on just the organization as a whole and their culture, how like that they're not playing to their standards, their level of standards. You would think that they'd be starting off as not as hot as they did last year, because obviously with all the in and out injuries and stuff, but like they're definitely not where they need to be in terms of where they want to be seeding wise towards the end of the season. Like they're not even a playoff team right now. So I can't find his quote, but I'll just kind of like filibuster a little bit. I think what Ban's major point was like he notices that there's a lack of just like edge on the team. Like that's a problem. Like we saw the team last year. They looked like they were hungry because they wanted to, they had a chip on their shoulder to prove that they belonged in the league at first, because you had guys like Kendrick starting, guys, you had Duncan starting, and then you had other guys like Myers, who, you know, for the most part in his career, Portland was basically what he's doing right now, just sitting on the bench cheering.
Here it is. I got it for you. Bam says, we didn't play to the Miami Heat culture that we represent. We're built on the culture. The cultures take a bunch of guys, counted out, overlooked, and you figure it out. Right now, we're not doing it.
You'd think, though, Brian, that they would have a larger chip coming off of the run that they just had and hearing all the bullshit over the summer about how they weren't a real team. So it doesn't make sense. And I think it kind of goes back a little bit. Tiff made a point that you might just need to make a trade just to get some new blood in there, some new life, some new energy, because it looks lifeless unless Jimmy is on the floor.
So kind of a couple of things that chat says. So Thirsty for More Pandas, great name, asked, how long has this podcast been around? I'm very proud to say we've been around for 8 years. This is our 8th season covering the league. Brian and I started this 8 years ago. So, you know, we've stood the test of time. So I'm very proud to answer that. Clutch Adam says, UD's homie Clutch Adam. Shout out to Clutch Adam, Clutch Corner over there. 5 reasons. That's my homie. Clutch Adam says, UD stopped yelling at them. When UD doesn't believe, it's like the parent, Siobhan, where like, you know, you've already fucked up so much, they don't even get mad anymore. They're just like, whatever.
Yeah, I'm not mad. I'm disappointed, and it hurts even worse.
It's just like, oh no, I don't want school called again. They're mad. Crab photographer. I love Crab. We need more beef because this team looks like vegetables. I don't know what that means, but I feel like that's analysis. That's analysis.
Is that one of those like 538 stats, vegetables? Like they have a Raptor stat, that mellow stat that makes no sense.
Listen, there's too many stats. There's too many I love numbers and it's ridiculous.
It makes sense. See what he did there.
I love crap. Yeah. So, I mean, like, we'll see. We have a lot more basketball.
There's actually a good point in here. Jay Nicho 20 said that UD was quarantined for a week too. So he's hard to be a locker room presence when you're not even allowed in the locker room.
That's so true. He can't like Zoom. You think UD's Zooming them? UD would Zoom them with well, COVID. Yelling.
I think there was a story just this past week that the NBA was like tightening the amount of time that teams could be in the locker room for like 10 minutes and they have to wear their mask.
Yeah.
So like
it's tough.
Yeah, what can you even do in the locker besides change and like just I don't know, listen to music for 10 minutes?
Let's remember that we are only 11 games into the season. 11 games into this season. There's a lot, and of those 11 games, they've been healthy for maybe 3 or 4 of them. There's a lot of basketball to be played. This team is coached by probably the best coach in the league, if not one or two. They have a guy in Jimmy Butler who is not only a Hall of Famer, but a dude that played LeBron James basically to a push at the highest level of the sport. You have a rising superstar in Bam. You have Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg who have proven to you time and time again that they will figure it out. They are not going to just sit here and watch this team underachieve. I think you can trust them to make a move to do something. You have guys that have been improving. Tyler is a much improved player, maybe not in the ways we need, but there is a trajectory there, and they have assets that people are going to want. They have picks that they've hit on every fucking time since LeBron has left. So they're fine. They're going to be fine. I don't doubt that. I think we all need to kind of take a step back, look around the league, the fucking Knicks are doing well. It's not real. The Knicks aren't good. We know that. The Knicks are not going to finish with a better record than the Heat.
They got new blood. They have new life. They have beef. They got size. I wouldn't be not maybe necessarily finished better than the Heat, but I think their improvements are actual.
Also, it seems like the rest of the league's gotten better, but the Heat.
And it's true. And it's okay though.
They'll be fine. They're gonna be fine.
The Raptors sure didn't get better.
Two East teams that barely made any moves, or two teams have gotten worse.
Let me tell you something. Pascal's looking, you know.
That wasn't cute for you to start talking about him.
I mean, I just saying that those look like.